For those of you that might have missed Valentine's Day, we know that one of our A students on the line by the name of Jess handed out flowers yesterday at the store. Now, who else did that? Anybody? Anybody? No. So we need to spread that one around. So I'm going to make a note on that one. So it's Friday. Thank God. We can't really share our Valentine's stories. Maybe we wouldn't want to. But I have to say again, the homework, just mind-blowing, blowing me away when you guys showed me just, you know, I'm not going to read any of those letters because they're really so heartfelt. And the letters, the thank you letters were really just over the top. And sometimes you wonder, you know, do we write those for ourselves? Do we write those for the recipient? But really, it was an emotional exercise, and you guys indicated that by sending in what you did. But it was pretty simple, once again, mostly all the same. When we talk about some of the important things in life, the good things in life that we have, it was pretty much the same list from everybody. Faith, family, the job, health, of course, pretty much that led the way. There were some others intermixed in there, but then we had some of the also category for like what we're most grateful for, not grateful, but the good things in our life, like ice cream. So that was a good one.
Coffee.
We even had pizza. So we are, you know, what happens if we remove those things? And so it is kind of a, I'm very proud of everybody who gave that one a shot because it was, you know, it was kind of a self-reflection. But I do have to take one out. I have to read one. Before I do that, one of the things that we all put in there, and we were honest, was our possessions. So it might have been anywhere from a car to a house to, you know, things that we, that are good in our lives, that we need, well, we all want good things. We all want everyone in our families to have good things. But we also, pretty much everyone indicated that those were the easiest things to drop. So when we know our possessions are easy to drop, I think that's a marker in our lives where we, you know, that's where we figure things out. If we have to put things back in, do we really need them? And I remember an old slogan from way back, and I don't even know where it came from, but it's always that quote, and that's going to be our quote of the day. And that is, it's better to want what we have than have what we want. It's better to want what we have than have what we want. And you can write that one down and think about it later. But, you know, possessions are so meaningful that we can't get them off a list or put them on a list. We've got to reevaluate. We all know we need them, but where are the value? So it is with great pleasure I'm going to read now. It was just too much to read some of your heartfelt thank yous, which were just amazing, the ones that you shared. I appreciate that. But this one was different, and this one was, I'm putting this one in the extra credit category, and this one was actually written to Zelda. Now, Zelda is a dog, and but it's just important, and I think we just kind of have some fun with this one a little bit. But dear Zelda, as much as you don't understand the English language, your sensibility to understand me is truly a gift. I often reflect on and value this beyond words. When you look at me, you won't see a mountain of tasks to complete, relationships to keep up with, errands to run. You look at me and just love me. Now that is simple and pure. It gets pretty gushy in here. So there are days when I completely are overwhelmed and crying as you run laps around me. What all this has taught me, and here's the kicker, this has taught me is to expect the unexpected and embrace it. Not everything goes perfectly as we plan in life, and rewards can be beyond your imagination. I really have a dog who is truly one of my greatest friends, who has been with me lovingly through the good times and the bad. Now, I won't tell you who wrote that, Emily, but I will say that she added a little piece on this, and this is what dogs have taught her and many of us here. Be a guardian, not an owner. Unconditional love. Days when I don't love myself, he still shows me more full of love. Eye contact, is vital for deep connection. I just pause on that one for a second, huh? Even though there's sometimes some bad breath that goes on that one, but you can get some pretty good eye contact. When I change the tone in my voice, even just a little, it can affect the way others feel. Oh, yeah. World's Funniest Videos. You can see those dog ones, man. Those are fun. Stretch and yawn every day. Okay? Go with that. Dogs will teach us that. Sleep more. All right. And here we go. Welcome people fully when they walk in the door. So we appreciate sharing that one. That was great. Just love that kind of stuff. And we all know how important dogs are to us in our lives. Not so much cats, but, you know, there are a few out there. For the cat lovers, we're sorry, but... So, you know, we talk about this gratitude. We've covered this in our past sessions before, and you might remember I like to refer it as heartitude, when we start looking at things from the heart. And so we just had Valentine's Day, and the reflection today is going to start off with, what gets you happy? So when was the last time you actually knew and wrote down and really understood fully what gets you happy? So I'm typically tuning into a TED Talk, and last week I recently looked at a TED Talk, and it was really talking about turnover at work. And it's like, oh, here we go. All right, maybe I'll pick something up. And as usual, you do. And it was talking about turnover at work as we talk about it, and it's just unbelievable because the high numbers are due to people that are unhappy at work. Can you believe that? And so the research comes up with 40%. So I'm going to say, let's say 40%. I used to say like 70%, but even if it's just 40%, if you do the math on 8 billion people in the world, that's like 3 billion people are walking around unhappy. And that's if 40% is correct. So we know this happiness thing is something we have to take a look at. We talk about it almost every Friday when we're here talking to our graduates from our little leadership school. And so, but really what we're talking about here also is workplace happiness. Workplace happiness is maybe just a little bit different. But, you know, we're looking at this time life study. We've looked at this now for, it's probably about a year's worth of data just on the past year, 75 years worth of study. And pretty much what the data is telling us is that we're born happy. We have 50% of our DNA is happy. So what's your excuse right there? I don't know. But then it goes on to say that 40%, you choose. You get to pick. So really, if you want to be happy, and you tell yourself you're going to be happy, and you figure out in your life how to be happy, 90% of your day should be happy. I mean, 90% is a lot. And we talk about that 10% that just never has a chance. It never has a shot. You know, born into poverty, born into, and even some of those people rise up. But still, you know, we know that really we should be happy. But workplace happy is a little different. And you might remember I've always loved talking about when the Pope came over here 2-3 years ago now, and he gave us the divine command, which was we're born to work. And we know that we have to get along at work. We're spending most of our time at work. We've got to learn how to be happy at work. And so we say, let's look at the saints to see how we know how to work. How do we get happy at work? And I love the quote from St. Thomas Aquinas. There can be no joy in life without joy in work. That's most of our day. How do we find this happiness at work? You know, one of my favorite saints, Mother Teresa, work without love is slavery. If we don't figure out how to love in the workplace, we're never going to get happy. And we all have to work. We know we're supposed to work. We know we're supposed to be in these social clans and interact with each other. My favorite, of course, St. Benedict, Ora et Labora, is my favorite little Latin for work is prayer. And we know that you've heard me say this, that the monks believe that as they work throughout the day, that that's actually praying. And so we have all these ideas about work and about love and happiness. But somebody even last week quoted the book, the Dalai Lama's book, on happiness. And if you open that book up, you walk up in there, and it tells you right there, Dalai Lama says that happiness is linked with self-control. Now let's pause for just a second and say, wait a minute now. Happiness and self-control. How does that work? Well, I'll give you another quote from a German theologian. Read his biography years ago, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of the most famous theologians. He became famous because he was killed by Hitler, and he was actually imprisoned and then hung. And just a week later, the Allied forces came and saved everyone. Just an amazing life what he did. But one of his greatest quote was, "Without discipline, aka self-control, man cannot learn to be happy." So we start learning sometimes happiness isn't just one of those things we just keep chasing and we look at and we've got to have. Happiness is something, if we have a structured life, if we have a life that we know we have to work, if we have a life that we know we've got to get along with people, somehow or another that freedom leads us to happiness. We just can't, we've got to have some rules, let's just say. We've got to have some laws. But we know that if we're really going to have a good life, we've got to choose happiness. And that comes from really learning about ourselves and self-control. And again, when you think about self-control, I've got a little reading here from you. It's a quickie. And this just came in and just kind of convinced me to use this week from Warren Buffett. So I got this one. Everybody knows that name, right? Warren Buffett. And here's his little insight for the week. You will continue to suffer if you have an emotional reaction to everything that is said to you. True power is sitting back and observing things with logic. True power is restraint. If words control you, that means everyone else can control you. There's a book out there that it's been out there for a long time that talks about self-control, and you might know it. It's I think it was written about 2,000 years ago, something like that. But it was always the monks that would say, if your heart's not right, your words won't be right. And we know that our words are really where we can start with self-control. And it's a preference. I was talking with Cody earlier today. We're talking about driving on the highway sometimes and how we can lose it so easily. And yet, we've got to really decide beforehand what we're going to do when we get upset. Are we just going to throw the bird out there? Are we going to scream at somebody? Are we going to shout? He's actually seen recently two guys fighting at the toll booth. You know, what is that? We know anger controls a lot of our emotion. And yet, you know, we can't seem to figure this out. So when we say, if the heart's not right, we start with self-control. We start with our words. And, it does feel pretty good when we can walk away from a situation where we know self-control. And that's what Cody was saying. Hey, I felt happy when I had a little power over that. And really what we call that, too, is there's a list of the fruits, as we call them, the fruits of life. And the last one in those virtues is self-control. And I think it's probably the most important of mostly everything that we do. And yet it's so hard for us humans to practice this. But yet we still have to practice it, and we still have to use it, especially at the workplace. And where else is left is our families. And so, again, it's that personal leadership plan. What are you going to say? What are you going to do when things get out of control, like Mr. Warren says? And true power really is in that discipline, in that self-control. And that leads us to happiness. And he's not the only guy saying that. There's this guy, the Dalai Lama. There's this guy, the Buddha. All these big guys that seem to teach us wisdom, seem to know what we're doing. So you got your quote of the day. Now for the homework. And I'm excited to say this is our last homework assignment, because next week is week 10, and so we'll conclude our mentorship program. Everyone will be getting paid $1 million. I mean, a million points, which the points don't matter. And Mike's bucks. So here's our homework assignment. It's a little wacky. I'm sure you can pull it off. you're going to go, I mean, most of us go to Jersey Mike's anyway for a sub during the week, weekend. We're going to go to a Jersey Mike's, your local one, wherever you're at. And this is what we're calling a research project. And you're actually going to perform an informal interview. And it's just going to be one simple question. And that's going to be, if it's busy, you got to be careful. If it's slow, it's pretty easy. But you're going to ask one of the employees that's open to say, why do you work here? Why do you work here? Now, if you do get in trouble, if there's a manager, an owner that starts looking at you crazy, just blame it on me and say, hey, it's okay, I'm just taking some notes. Call Keith. Or Steve. Steve does this quite often. But really, it might be five words, it might be five sentences. It's not going to be anything dramatic. They're going to tell you. And maybe you might get two inputs because we've done this a lot, and one of the kids will say something and another one will chime in. But that's really it. It's just kind of a little interview. Why do you work here? And then we're going to gather up that information and see what kind of answers we come up with. So good luck with that. Happy Friday. Hope you all have a great weekend and have a great week. Thanks a lot. Sears is gone.